This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in this time of worship. Whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or over live stream, we know and trust that the Spirit of Christ connects us in this hour of worship. If you are present with us in worship in the sanctuary, I would invite you to register your attendance in the registration pads that are at the end of each row. If you'll send those down and back again, and if you're worshiping online, there should be a link you can click on to let us know that you're here. There is also a QR code in the bulletin if you're here in the sanctuary and would like to share a prayer concern or make your offering digitally. You can use that QR code to do so. I have several announcements as we gather this morning as the season of Advent begins next Sunday. So many exciting things to tell you about. First of all, today at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly Tezé service, a service of contemplation and prayer and music, and we invite you to join us either in person or online at 5 o'clock for that today. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and we will have our Advent wreath-making workshop. Yay! We'll be able to have that tradition again. It will be at 4 o'clock in the gymnasium, and we do need your RSVP so that we know how many supplies of wreaths and candles to get, and the website is on the back of the bulletin. It's the church website /Advent wreath to RSVP. Our pastor of Children's Ministries, Maggie Gerald, would love some help with volunteers to set up. So if you would email her to let her know if you're available to help set up and take down for that event, that would be great. Then the following Sunday, December 5th, our choirs combined will share the first part of Handel's Messiah. And that will begin at 4:30. It will also be on live stream. And I don't know about you, but that's going to make me feel like it's the season of Advent when I hear that music once again. And then the following Sunday, the 12th of December, we will have our traditional candle lighting service at 5:30. So be making plans to be here for that or to join us on live stream. That will be a wonderful thing to experience together again. Throughout the season of Advent, we'll have our mission market going on in Reed Hall. We'll have one vendor each week there to items that you might purchase that go toward the missions of the church. And so be on the lookout for those folks each week in Reed Hall. With the first Sunday of Advent approaching next week, that means that this Sunday is the final Sunday of the Christian year, the culmination of the Christian year. It's sometimes called Christ the King Sunday, sometimes the Reign of Christ Sunday, but this is the day when we celebrate Christ as Lord of our lives, Lord of heaven and earth. So let us lift our hearts and minds in worship together this morning.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. He who is born in a manger, God in flesh, without a home.
Hear the news. The reign of Christ is coming, and it is here.
He who shattered hierarchy, who exalted the last ahead of the first.
Hear the news. The reign of Christ is coming, and it is here.
He who ruled as a servant, who followed love to Golgotha's hill. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. God of majestic love and grace, we confess that our desires are often incongruent with yours. We champion victory, accumulation, popularity, in appearance. You uplift liberation, radical generosity, compassion, and sincerity. We want a king who validates our biases and vanquishes those with whom we disagree. But you emptied yourself and humbled yourself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Forgive us, O Lord, for you are not the ruler we expected. And we find ourselves hesitant to answer discipleship's call. God of all-consuming love and acceptance, may we come to trust in the care and compassion that you have for each and every one of us, that we may know the fullness of your freedom from these things that bind, that we may follow you in the ways that lead to life. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, David and Liz McNamee bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. David and Liz, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. And now, my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the waters of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and this child who receives it to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay. And what name have you given your child?
Marjorie Russell McNamee.
Marjorie Russell McNamee, I baptize you in the name of God who created you, Christ who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who sustains you and will every day of your beautiful life. Amen. And now I'm going to invite you parents and big brother and godparents all to lay hand on you or on each other while all of us together are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Marjorie, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. And now I'm going to invite you all to stand a little closer to the middle so that all of you here in the sanctuary can see them a little better and all those worshiping online, which includes an aunt who lives in Oslo, so that she can see Marjorie's beautiful face as together we make our promises to love and support all of you as you raise her in the faith.
Will the congregation please stand and face Marjorie Russell? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Marjorie Russell to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
Let us pray together the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. This is a lesson from the Gospel, Mark chapter 14, 1 through 9. It was 2 days before Passover and the festival unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people. While he was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
To invite all of the children who are here in the sanctuary to come and join me up here, and if you're worshiping at home, to move a little closer to your screens. I'm going to share just a moment together. Come on down. Good to see you. Wow, what a great group we have today. Oh, you have a turkey on your dress for Thanksgiving. Yay. Going to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit today. Come on, there's plenty of room over here, all sorts of space. Welcome, everybody. So glad to see you in church today. And for those of you who are joining us from home, we're so glad you're with us, too. So there's a holiday coming up on Thursday. And what's it called? Thanksgiving. So it's a day when we give thanks. We give thanks to God for all the many blessings of our lives. And there's so much to be thankful for. I want to show you something. Okay, here I have a glass of water. Now, some would look at this and say, "Aw, the glass is only half full. There's not enough water in there." But some might look at this glass and say, "Oh, look, the glass is half full. It's not half empty, it's half full." It's the same amount of water, but to one person it's like, "Oh, it's half empty." To another person it's like, "Oh my goodness, it's half full. I'm so grateful for this half full glass of water because I'm thirsty and I need a drink." Thanksgiving is a reminder that we have lots to be thankful for, and sometimes what makes the biggest difference is how we look at it. So I want to invite you this week to think about three things that you're thankful for in your life, and maybe tell one of your parents or a teacher or somebody the three things that you're thankful for. So let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, there's so much to be thankful for in our lives. Help us to see and be thankful. Help us to see the glass is half full instead of half empty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If you are 3 years old, 4 years old, or 5 years old, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with family or friends. And happy Thanksgiving. When I was growing up, maybe a little older than most of the kids who were up here this morning, one of my favorite shows on public television was The Electric Company. Does anybody remember The Electric Company? It was a little more electric and hyper than Sesame Street. It came on right after Sesame Street. But it was also an educational show to help kids learn their numbers and learn how to spell. And one of my favorite animated sketches on The Electric Company was The Adventures of Letterman. Anybody remember Letterman from Electric Company? So the evil villain in the story was the Spellbinder. And he would take a word and remove a letter or change a letter, and the whole scene would change and things would get dangerous until Letterman came and fixed the word. So, for example, there's a scene where all these people are at the park playing outside and enjoying the light, but then the Spellbinder comes and he takes away the L and he turns the light into night. Oh no, everyone's bumping into each other and no one can see until Letterman arrives. And he changes the N in night back to an L in light and saves the day. There's also one about a man who owns a pickle factory, and the Spellbinder turns pickle into tickle, and I'll let you imagine what that looks like. But it was a good way to learn how to spell. And it made me realize what a difference one letter can make. You may have noticed, if you've been worshiping here for a while, that every once in a while, from time to time in our liturgy, sometimes in my preaching, sometimes in a Monday meditation, I change one letter in a word. I drop the G from kingdom sometimes, so that the kingdom becomes a kingdom. Now, this is not an original idea. I first encountered this when I was in seminary. We were talking about the theological reasons that that might be helpful to do sometimes. Now, to be sure, I don't want to drop the language of kingdom or the images of Christ as a king. They come to us through the scriptures. Jesus himself taught regularly about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Of course, kingdom is the English translation of the Aramaic or Hebrew word he would have used, but it was an image that he used in his teaching. And so, as his followers, we also need to embrace that imagery. And the church tradition has passed forward to us this Sunday when we celebrate the reign of Christ, so often called Christ the King, when we, as Christ's people, acknowledge that he is Lord of our lives, Lord of the universe. So that king language is part of who we are, and it's helpful and instructive. But at the same time, it can be a little problematic, at least for me. Because for me, and I think for many of us, the image of a king is very contrary to who Jesus was and is. When I think of a king, if I'm being honest, I think of King Henry VIII. Sitting up there on a big throne with elaborate robes that just exude wealth and power, power over others, a king and his subjects. There's a great distance between the king and the people. I think of a king who is interested in maintaining his own power and even willing to resort to violence or war to defend his borders or go and acquire more land for himself. And so if that is some of the stuff at work in my mind when I hear the word king, then I need some help to think about Jesus as a king. And so sometimes dropping that letter G can illuminate things in a new way. If we are talking about Jesus creating a kingdom, a family, where power is not power over, but shared power and the power of love, where there's not a pyramid or a hierarchy, but a circle around a table with Christ as our host. Just dropping that G helps me to understand that a little better. I also look at the life and the teachings and the death and resurrection of Jesus And I see how over and over again he eschewed this idea of being a king, at least in the earthly sense of the word. When he was first entering ministry, if you remember, he went into the desert for 40 days and he was tempted by the devil. And one of the temptations the devil put in front of him was, I will give you power over all the nations of the world. In other words, I'll make you king over the world. And Jesus rejected that. No interest in power over others or in that kind of power. In the middle of his ministry, when he feeds the multitudes with the loaves and the fishes, in John's gospel, the crowd comes back to him and they want to capture him and make him a king. They want to put a crown on his head. And he runs away from them. He doesn't want to be a king in the way they want him to be a king. And in his final hours, when he stands before Pontius Pilate, Pilate asks him point blank, "Are you a king?" And Jesus says, "You say that I'm a king." Avoiding the question, perhaps. And then he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus' kingdom is unlike any other kingdom we have ever experienced on earth, any other kingdom than we can imagine, a different kind of kingdom than many of us, including myself, would really choose. We get another glimpse of the kind of king Jesus is in our scripture reading for today. We see on either side of this story about the dinner table, the powers of this world jockeying for position. At the beginning, we hear that the religious leaders are conspiring against Jesus, trying to have him killed with, you know, behind the scenes. We didn't hear this part, but right after this story, Judas gets up from the table and goes to betray Jesus to them. Maybe Judas is wanting Jesus to be a different kind of king who will come and assert political power or will rise up in violence to drive out the Romans. And when Jesus is proving himself not to be that kind of king, maybe it's enough for Judas to get up from the table and betray him. But in between these two chambers of political power, Jesus is at the dinner table in the home of a man named Simon the leper. Jesus is not dining with Pilate. He's not in the palaces of Herod. He's not sitting at a table with anybody important who has any power in the community. He's sitting in the home of a leper, someone who has been an outcast from the community. And while he sits there, a woman comes into the room. We don't know her name. We do know she's breaking a lot of decorum by coming into the room. Women were not allowed to dine at the table with men. If they were coming into the room, it was to serve food. They would eat later or eat in a different room. But this woman walks into the room because she has an offering to make to Jesus. She pours out this very expensive ointment, a year's worth of wages this ointment is worth, and she anoints Jesus' head. Now, what the men in the room see is a great waste. They see a glass half empty. They cannot believe what a waste this woman has made and how that money could have been used. But while they are criticizing her and scolding her, Jesus defends her. And what we see in this moment, whether it's what the woman meant or not, is a coronation. You see, back in the day, it was a prophet who would anoint the head of a king, Samuel anointing the head of Saul, the head of King David. And here we have Jesus in the home of a leper, being anointed by an anonymous woman as a king like no other king. And to make matters even clearer about who Jesus is, he says, "She is anointing me for my burial." This is a king who is about to give himself away, who is about to empty himself for the sake of the world, who will be lifted up in his moment of glory on a cross with a crown of thorns. And there are very few at the cross who will understand this means he is a king like no other. So, my friends, if this is our king, if we are citizens of Christ's kingdom, what does that mean for us and how we live and move in the world? In a world where there's always jockeying for power and position and power over others, in a world where there are hierarchies, where some are outcast and excluded and anonymous, how do we, as the kingdom of God, live differently? Well, I can share with you just a few glimpses of the kingdom that I've seen just in recent days. A few weeks ago, I got an email from my friend and colleague, Jay Voorhees. Some of you know Jay. He's a pastor in the conference. And it came to his awareness that there are people who die on the streets of Nashville with no family, nobody to conduct a funeral for them. And so he's put together a group of pastors, I signed up, who would be ready on short notice to go to the city cemetery and conduct a service for those who die with no one. I've not yet had the privilege of doing that, but I want you to know that there are United Methodist pastors who are going to the city cemetery once, twice, three times a week and calling the names and saying prayers for citizens of God's kingdom who have been forgotten and lost. That's the kingdom of God. I think about our friends James Sewell and Bill Miller, who go every month, sometimes more than once a month, to the prison, Riverbend Maximum Security, to preach the gospel, to share communion, to be in friendship and relationship with the men who've been incarcerated there for so long. They don't get any bonus credits for that, right? But it's living out the calling to be citizens of the kingdom of God, to gather around a table with the least and the lost and the forgotten. How does this look in your own life? What are ways that you are called to claim your citizenship in the kingdom of God, to live in a way that looks different from the rest of the world, that can be a beacon of light and love for the rest of the world? Today is the Reign of Christ Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. We are gathered in this place to declare that Jesus is Lord, Lord of our lives, Lord of the church, Lord of heaven and earth. So let us go forth from this place to live as kin with all God's people and to live the light, so that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Kingdom friends, I invite you to join it with me as we affirm our faith together. On page 883, the Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada, you may stand in body and spirit. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we come to this time where we share our joys and our concerns, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share those prayer requests with the pastoral team for us to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us in our website, or if you're here in person in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering boxes on your way out this morning. With joy, we celebrate the births of two children by these roses on our altar. One celebrates the birth of James Bryant Roberts, born to Mary Catherine and Josh Roberts on November 12th, also welcomed by big sister Mary Margaret. We also celebrate the birth of Thomas Rutherford Whitaker to Julia and Todd Whitaker on November 14th, and he is welcomed by big brother Benton. Our hearts continue to be with the family and friends of Reverend Jackie Sojourner. A memorial service will be held for her here on Wednesday, December the 1st. Visitation will be from 1 to 3, service at 3, and interment to follow. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Christ, our King, who was anointed by the woman who did what she could, who ate with the lost, the sick, and the forgotten, have mercy on us. This morning we offer up to you those things that are weighing heavy on our hearts. We are troubled and discouraged when we see the continuation of injustice towards people of color. We are overcome with grief when we continue to see supremacy at work. We pray for those you have called forth to challenge us all to do the work we must do to love your children. Christ our King, have mercy. We are so grateful for the gifts of science, for the approval that allows for more people to receive the vaccine as we continue our global struggle with coronavirus. Grant us the hope that we need to keep moving forward together. Christ our King, have mercy. As our days grow shorter and we spend more time in the darkness, teach us. We pray for those who struggle with their mental health, especially during this season, as so many are affected by the change in the daylight. Grant us rest. Help us to heed that reminder from your creation that we too need seasons. And we too need time to rest. God, we are in awe of how we are so connected to this beautiful world that you created. Christ our King, have mercy. As we begin this first stretch of the holiday season, help us to enjoy the small things as many of us navigate tense situations in the coming weeks. May we notice the smiles of loved ones, the tears that come with memories, the comforts of tradition. Help us remember those who struggle this time of year for so, so many reasons. And remind us that we are blessed in order that we may bless others. Christ our King, have mercy. Grant us your wisdom and justice. Grant us your strength and vulnerability. Grant us the courage to hold our hope alongside our grief. Grant us rest. Grant us your love so that we may love all the people in your kingdom. Christ, our King, have mercy. And now hear us as we pray this prayer that Jesus taught as he was building his kingdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare now to give our tithes and our offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation, so that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the kingdom of Christ. We invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, we invite you to give via the options listed currently on the screen or in the chat. And for those who are here with us today in person, we have offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, our hearts, what we can, like the woman in today's scripture, to the God who loves us unconditionally.
Now may we go from this place, living as citizens of the kingdom of God, members of the one family that God has created throughout the earth. May God turn the values of this world upside down through you. Go in peace.